Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: I am able to give you an entire island because I am the proprietor of the three divisions of the universe. You have come to take something from me and have pleased me by your sweet words. But you are asking only 3 paces of land. Therefore, you are not very intelligent. Purport: according to Vedic understanding, the entire universe is regarded as an ocean of space. In that ocean, there are innumerable planets, and each planet is called a dvipa or island. When approached by Lord Vamanadeva, Bali Maharaj was actually in possession of all the dvipas or islands in space. Bali Maharaj was very pleased to see the features of Vamanadeva and was ready to give him as much land as he could ask. But because Lord Vamanadeva asked only 3 paces of land, Bali Maharaj considered him not very intelligent. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Lord Vamanadeva has come in front of Bali Maharaj. The Lord is in disguise as an ordinary Brahmana boy. Bali Maharaj doesn't recognize him to be the Supreme Lord. Speaking very sweetly, the young Brahmana boy praises Bali Maharaj and his ancestors, his lineage, and asks for some charity, because that is the business of a Brahmana. Patana Patana Yajana Yajana Dana Pratigraha. There are 6 duties, occupational duties of a Brahmana. He has to learn and teach. He has to perform worship and teach others how to perform worship. He has to accept in charity and also to give in charity. So when a Brahmana comes before a Kshatriya or a king like Bali Maharaj, he accepts charity, because the Brahmanas are not supposed to work for a livelihood. They are not supposed to do business or do a job, but they have to depend on charity that is given by the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas and so on, and sometimes by other Brahmanas as well. So Bali Maharaj becomes very pleased and says, you can ask me whatever you like. Bali Maharaj has that sense of pride that he is the emperor of the universe. And as Prabhupada clarifies here, that he actually possessed all the dvipas or islands in space. In other words, he possessed all the planets. So imagine how wealthy he was. Here we consider someone wealthy if he has a few billion dollars or something and possesses a small portion of a city. But here is the king of the entire universe practically. And what does Vamanadeva ask him? 3 paces of land. By mundane estimation, this was definitely something unreasonable, unintelligent, and one can't really blame Bali Maharaj for thinking that this Brahmana boy was unintelligent. After all, he didn't know that this was the Supreme Lord directly. For the Supreme Lord, he doesn't need to ask anything. Everything is his property. It is he who gives everything to us. Had Bali Maharaj known at this moment, at this point in time, that this is the Supreme Lord and his 3 paces of land could cover not just the whole universe, but it could be unlimitedly expanded, then he wouldn't have spoken like this. But because he didn't know, he was thinking in ordinary material terms. So quite rightly then, according to that point of view, he considered Vamanadeva's request of 3 paces of land to be unintelligent. And he says, I can give you all the planets in the universe. You could have asked me for 1 planet, or at least a few million cows, some gold and so on. And all you're asking me for is 3 steps of land. And you're just a small boy, so how far will your 3 steps go anyway? So the point is that when we approach somebody to ask for something, we must be intelligent enough to understand what to ask. One must estimate the capacity or the power of the person we are approaching and ask accordingly. One cannot ask somebody something that is more than what he can give us, something that is in excess of his capacity. Similarly, if one approaches someone who has enormous capacity to do something or to give something, and then we ask him only for something very, very nominal, very minimal, that also is not very intelligent. Let's say we go to the wealthiest person on the planet. Let's say Bill Gates or whoever it may be who is the wealthiest person. And let's assume that he was also very favorable to Krishna consciousness. And he's willing to give you anything for propagation of Krishna consciousness. And you go there and ask him, my dear sir, I've come to ask you for some charity in Krishna consciousness because I know that you're very favorable. And he says, yes, he opens his checkbook. And he says, yes, just tell me, what would you like? And he's practically willing to give you a blank check. And then you say, sir, I want 10 pence from you. So he said, what? 10 pence? Look, I have a whole blank checkbook here with me. I own billions and billions worth of property and everything. You're asking for 10 pence? But all right, if that's what you ask, here, 10 pence. I could have given you millions of dollars. You could have built beautiful temples. You could have published millions of books and so on. So when you go to the wealthiest of persons, you'd ask him for something commensurate with his capacity. So also it is with Krishna. So people approach God for something. They always ask for something when they come to God, people in general. But they do not estimate the power of God, the capacity of God. They do not have an understanding of what it is that the Lord is capable of giving. Indeed, there is no limit to the Lord's capability. He can give us anything and everything we seek. But because people in general do not have the spiritual conception, they don't understand anything beyond the material realm. They have no understanding of the spiritual realm, the kingdom of God which is beyond this world. They have no understanding of any happiness that is beyond the sense gratification of this world. So therefore, when they approach the Lord, they also ask Him for something within the jurisdiction of matter. Something very petty. Money, power, prestige, sense enjoyment, lordship, and so on and so forth. So when one comes to the Lord, one should ask Him for something that is ultimate. Everyone ultimately wants to conquer death. No one wants to die. So we can ask Him for immortality. He can give it. In fact, He is the only one who can give it. To approach anyone else for immortality is futile because nobody else is immortal. So the Supreme Lord alone can grant us immortality. Similarly, we want to ask for unlimited bliss, unending bliss. That is not possible in this world. Only Krishna or God can provide us this. So when we go to the Lord for asking something, why should we be content with asking for something that is so puny, so petty, some little thing, some benediction of this world? That's not very intelligent. So when we go to Krishna, who has unlimited capacity to give, He can give us immortal life in His association, eternal bliss, full knowledge. So why should we settle for anything less? It's a bad deal. And all Krishna is asking us is a leaf, a fruit, a flower, and some water offered with devotion. And then we chant His holy names with love and we serve Him. That's all. And Krishna is willing to give us everything in return. He's willing to give us Himself. Tulasi dala matrena jalasya chulukena va vikrinite svamatmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsalaha. So this is one verse from the Puranas where the Lord's, where it is said that if one simply offers the Lord a tulasi leaf, tulasi dala matrena, jalasya chulukena va, and a few drops of water, Ganga water or Yamuna water in the palm of one's hand, and one offers this with devotion to Krishna, then Krishna becomes so pleased that He is willing to give Himself up to us. He sells Himself to us. He is purchased by the simple gift of a tulasi leaf and some Ganga or Yamuna water. Vikrinite svam atmanam. He sells Himself, or rather He completely gives Himself up to the devotee. Bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsalaha. He gives Himself up to that person because that person is a devotee. And Krishna is bhaktavatsala. He loves the devotees. He is very affectionate to devotees. So this is what the Lord is willing to do. What to speak of giving us a few pounds and pence and a little bit of temporary pleasure, He is willing to give Himself up to the devotee. When Dhruva Maharaj approached the Lord for some position, that was by material estimation extraordinary, because he wanted a position that was higher than even Lord Brahma's position. Dhruva Maharaj wanted something that nobody could expect to ask, or nobody would have asked for. His father was King Uttanapad. King Uttanapad's father was Manu. Manu's father was Brahma. Such a distinguished lineage. And Dhruva Maharaj was not satisfied because of certain things that happened. He went to the forest and he performed severe austerities for 6 months. And at the end of 6 months, the Lord kindly appeared before Dhruva Maharaj in the form of Prishni Garbha. And when he appeared, Dhruva Maharaj was beside himself with ecstasy. And he completely forgot about the original purpose for which he had come to perform austerities in the first place. And when the Lord said, "Okay, Dhruva, I am here before you. So tell me, what would you like?" And Dhruva said, "No, I don't want anything from you. Sthana bhilashi tapasi sthitoham tvam praptavan deva munindra guhyam kacham vichinvannapi divyaratnam svamin kritarthosmi varam nayache." He said, "I performed severe austerities. I situated myself in severe penance, tapasi sthitoham, because I was desirous of a very high position, sthanabhilashi. But now I have obtained you, tvam praptavan. I have obtained you who are extremely difficult to obtain for great sages and even for the demigods. And now that I have obtained you, I feel that I was asking for broken pieces of glass from you. Instead, very kindly, very mercifully, you have awarded me the priceless diamond of your darshan and of love for you. Therefore, I am completely satisfied. Swamin kritarthaha. O my Lord, I am completely fulfilled now. Varam na yache. I don't want to ask you for any benediction." So this is the benefit of coming to Krishna, even if one has material desires. But Dhruva Maharaj could have, if he wanted, just transcended that and asked Krishna only for devotion. But Krishna is so kind that he gave him that devotion. But nevertheless, since Dhruva's original purpose was something material, so the Lord told him, "Dhruva, you are saying you don't want anything, but still I insist, you must ask me for something." And Dhruva still didn't want to ask. So then of his own accord, the Lord said, "All right, you originally wanted to ask me for a kingdom that is bigger than that of your great-grandfather. But how is that possible?" "It's not possible. The only way that is possible is if I give you my kingdom. I'll have to make a special planet for you, which is my planet." And then he created Dhruvaloka. He said, "Okay, this is my planet, it's for you. And that's the North Star. So you can see the North Star. Of course, now if it's raining, you can't see it. But at night, if you look up due north, and from the horizon, you estimate an angle that is equal to the latitude of the place you are standing on. So whatever is the latitude of London? What is the latitude of London? How many degrees north is it? General knowledge? Latitude of London? 50 degrees or something? I think it should be about 50. So if you go look due north, and then 50 degrees up like that, then you will spot a very faint star there. That's Dhruvaloka. So Dhruva Maharaj is there. So Krishna gave him a very, very special kingdom. That's like a spiritual planet. That's for you. Because what can I do? I have to fulfill the desires of my devotees. You were asking for something impossible, but because it was not materially possible, but spiritually anything is possible. So I'm giving you this special facility. So that is Krishna's kindness and his mercy. So when Krishna is willing to do so much for us and give everything for us, he is willing to give us his home, his very self, why should we be satisfied with something less? And all Krishna is asking for in return is some love. Of course, the devotee doesn't love Krishna with a selfish motivation like that. But if I love Krishna, I will get this. That may be in the initial stages like Dhruva Maharaj. But gradually one goes beyond that and one loves Krishna selflessly. And this is what actually, ironically, then binds Krishna and makes Krishna say this, that I want to give myself up to my devotees. Srila Prabhupada used to tell this humorous story about this old lady who used to carry, she was very poor, and she would carry these little logs of wood from the forest. She would go every day in the morning to the forest, cut wood, and bring it back to the village marketplace and sell it, and she would earn her livelihood in this way. But as the years went by and she was getting older and older, it was more and more difficult for her to do all these physical tasks. She was bent over with age, she was getting weak with age, and carrying this heavy burden of wood was becoming increasingly difficult. So one day, as the poor lady was walking along, the wood fell off her shoulders because she couldn't carry it any longer. And at that time, the Supreme Lord appeared in front of her. Lo and behold, the Lord appears. And she says, "My dear lady, what do you want? I can fulfill any desire that you have." This lady could have asked the Lord for anything. But because she was so accustomed to thinking in a certain way, she just said, "Oh, please lift this log of wood, this stack of wood, and just keep it on my shoulders again." That's the only thing she could think of asking. Had she been more intelligent, she could have asked, "Please give me a situation where I never again have to work for a livelihood. Where I can comfortably sit at home and get my meals provided to me," or something like that. But all she could think of was that the Lord should help, someone should help, and lift that wood and place it back on her shoulder, perhaps the other shoulder. So when we approach the Lord, and the Lord says, "Okay, I'm here before you now. What do you want to ask from me?" And we say, "Oh Lord, please give me such and such, you know, that little business deal or business contract or some little pleasure or enjoyment of this world." See, that's not a very intelligent thing to do. It's because we don't understand really what the Lord can give us. What is His position? Another story the Lord similarly said, Prabhupada similarly said in this regard, is there was again this old lady who was in a village. She was illiterate. She wasn't exposed to anything beyond the village. For her, the village was everything. And the big man in the village was a constable. So the constable would go around every day, and everybody in the village respected him and feared him. And he was the big boss for everybody. They didn't know of anything beyond the village constable, because their universe extended to the borders of the village. They had never been outside the village. They didn't understand that there's a larger kingdom, and there are bigger government officials, and ultimately there's a king, and so on. So one time there was some issue in the village, there was a problem. And the district magistrate, who is a high government official, he came to the village and he sorted out some problem. So the lady was very, very pleased with him, and she said, "Come, come, I bless you, and I bless you that you may get the post of the village constable." Because she thought the post of the village constable was the highest. She didn't know anything beyond that. The district magistrate was actually many, 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 many times higher in position than the constable. Because her vision was limited, so she blessed him to become the village constable. So similarly, we don't understand really what's God's position. And therefore we ask for something that is really very, very insignificant. Pure devotional service means that we approach Krishna for His pleasure alone, not for asking anything material for ourselves. But suppose someone has some material desires, what should he or she do? So Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches Sanatana Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he establishes the principle of pure devotional service as the ultimate. And then he says, what about those then who are bhukti mukti siddhi kami? Bhukti means those, Bhukti Kami means those who are desirous of sense gratification. Mukti Kami means those who are desirous of liberation. Siddhi Kami means those who are desirous of mystic powers that are obtained through the process of the Ashtanga Yoga. So what about these? So Mahaprabhu, quoting a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, says, whatever it may be, whether one is full of material desires, whether one has desire for liberation, or one has no material desires, one should worship Krishna. Akamaha sarvakamova moksha kama udarathi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is akama, without any material desires, or sarvakamova, one is full of material desires, moksha kama, one desires liberation and eventually merging into the impersonal Brahman, whatever it may be, one should worship Krishna with great intensity, tivrena. Purusham param, param purush, the supreme person, Krishna. So whether one has material desires, desires for liberation, or spiritual desires, one should not neglect worshipping Krishna. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami narrates what Mahaprabhu says in the situation that someone who is not a devotee approaches him. Anya kame yadi kare Krishna ra bhajan na magite hai Krishna tare dhan swacharan. He says, anya kame, if there is somebody who is desirous of something else, anya, anya means other, kami means a person desiring. If a person desires something else and approaches Krishna, anya kame yadi kare Krishna ra bhajan, someone performs Krishna bhajan. I think we should stop the bell. Can, without. So if they come to Krishna for some other desires which are not devotional, so Krishna says, na magiteha Krishna tare dhan swacharan. So even though the person doesn't want it, Krishna very kindly gives that worshipper his lotus feet. This is the kindness of Krishna. And why does Krishna give that? Because this person has approached me, Krishna thinks. He could have gone elsewhere. He could have gone to the demigods. He could have done this and that to fulfill his material desires. But he has come to me. So then Kaviraj Goswami paraphrases Krishna's thinking. He says, Krishna kahe, ama bhaje, mage vishaya sukh, amrita chhade vishaya mage, ei bada murkha. So Krishna is speaking now. He said, this person has come to me and he's mage vishaya sukh. He's asking for sense gratification, the pleasures of this world. Amrita chhade vishamage, leaving aside the nectar of my lotus feet, he's asking for poison of sense gratification. A bada murkha. Therefore, he's a real fool. So he's foolish because I can give him nectar, but he's asking me for poison. How foolish. But then he says, he's foolish, but I'm not foolish. Ami vigya, a murkha vishay keno dibo. Sva charanamrita diya vishaya bhulaibo. So he said, this man is foolish, but I am not a fool. I am very intelligent actually, Krishna says. Therefore, what will I do? I will give him the nectar of my lotus feet and I will make him forget the sense gratification business. This is Krishna's mercy. So even if one approaches Krishna for sense gratification, for impersonal liberation, or whatever it may be, if one worships Krishna with intensity, with sincerity, then Krishna will make us forget those other desires. And then it is only the desire to serve Krishna's lotus feet that will blossom in our heart. And Krishna will nourish that and give us the association of pure devotees so that we can also become pure devotees. So this is the mercy of Krishna. This is the benefit of worshipping Krishna. So the most intelligent person worships Krishna without any ulterior motive. And even if one has other desires, still intelligence demands that one should go to Krishna anyway. Then those material desires and non-devotional desires will be eliminated from the heart, and eventually pure devotional service, pure love for Krishna will manifest in our heart by His mercy. So that is the sign of real intelligence, to approach Krishna under all conditions of life. Then we are asking Krishna something that is truly worthy of His position. So Bali Maharaj is now thinking about the Lord like this, that I can give you so many islands, I can give you planets, and you are asking me only for 3 steps of land. And in the next few verses, we are going to see how Bali Maharaj was meant to be astounded by the mystic potency of the Lord as He expands His body unlimitedly and then finally bestows mercy upon Bali Maharaj. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments?